Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to Laura and Elle of Baha'i Desert. It's currently August 18th, 2016. The show is brought to you by GrowWithLauraandElle.com, which offers online marketing services and social media, email outreach, and other tasks. If you'd like to know more, go to GrowWithLauraandElle.com. All of the support helps Laura and Elle of Baha'i Desert continue producing content. Today, we're discussing a website called go100%.org, which is a database of renewable energy projects. And I came across this website a couple weeks ago, and I thought it was a really interesting project because it provides a map to see visually where 100% renewable energy projects are located all across the globe. I personally haven't seen a database like this before showcasing renewable energy projects, and it was really easy to navigate, really easy for me to find what projects were happening in Southern California and across the United States. So today I actually have Diane Moss on the line, who is the founding director of Renewables 100 Policy Institute. She's going to tell us more about the project. Hi, Diane. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
I'm so happy to have you on the line today and to talk more about go100%.org.
I'm delighted to be here.
So can you give us some background about yourself and your involvement in go100%.org?
Sure. Well, like you mentioned, I'm a founder and director of Renewables 100 Policy Institute, which is a nonprofit that was founded in 2007, really to fill a niche that was not being filled, especially here in the United States, by most nonprofits, which was to really focus specifically on how do we study and accelerate the global transition to 100% renewable energy. And this was based on the fact that non-renewable resources, by definition, will only deplete. So we knew the answer at the back of the book is eventually we need to transition to 100% renewable energy. Also, there's a lot, you know, global crises being created by conventional energy systems. And so we should be thinking about this sooner than later if we know we need to get there eventually. And back in 2007, the debate was very much centered on much lower targets. Does renewable energy even work, at least in the United States? In Europe, they were a little bit further ahead in some countries. And there were some pockets here in the United States that were having a more advanced conversation. But we tried to get other nonprofits to take on this important mission, but at the time they weren't really ready, so we took it on. And my background is I have an eclectic background, but I had I was working in the policy sector as a congressional staffer. I had been an activist. I had been in the creative profession earlier in my adulthood, and I'd grown up in a political and environmental and a family of environmental leadership. So this was, also something that had been in my background growing up. But anyway, when we started the organization and we were very policy focused, and we continue to be, and that was very important, we also knew that being able to see the actual transition was very important. Whether it was in my activist work or in my government work, I would sit across from folks, you know, sometimes it was CEOs of oil and gas companies, and sometimes it was just, you know, other folks who would, you know, say, look,
right,
renewable energy is nice, but it'll never, ever work. We can never have 100% renewable energy. And we knew for a fact that there were places around the world that were already getting there, at least, maybe not as scaled up as we need to be, but they were already showing the way. And so we thought, you know, this is a powerful tool for us to be able to show the story that's already happening, and for those stories to connect with each other, to be able to learn from one another, and those who were curious and maybe wanted to be part of this transition to be able to be empowered by information and gain confidence that others, maybe they weren't the first to be inventing the wheel. And that's where the idea for go100%.org came, and to create this map and to create a comprehensive group of case studies. And also, it was a place to put other learning tools, a library of technical studies, and which, you know, some of which, you know, people may agree with them or not, but at least we can have a debate about them instead of just having a blanket statement that, you know, it's not possible, for example. And we also could put interviews there. We could put events and build a kind of a virtual community around folks who were interested in learning more about how we can transition to renewable energy and create this massive transformation around the world. And so that's how it started. And we have a small team and here at Renewables 100 Policy Institute. We get a lot done with very few people. And that project was the brainchild of myself and my partner, Matthias Bank, who is our media and outreach director, and he's done the technical and design end, and I created most of, and he's also done the audio visuals, and I have created the written content and the research, and so that's been my role.
And when did go100%.org launch?
We launched in 2010. We first had the idea earlier, and we started working on it, and then we launched officially in 2010.
So it's been around for some time, and so I have checked out the website, and I did see the map with the list of projects in the U.S. And so when you say 100% renewable energy projects, what exactly is that? Like what qualifies as 100% renewable energy?
That's a great question. So our criteria is that there has to be an official commitment, so somebody in a position of authority or a body with a position of authority declaring an official commitment to a 100% renewable target in at least one sector. So that can be the electricity sector, which is the most popular, because that is the area where technologies and policies are most mature. The technology markets at least. And so it can be also, you know, and some of them are also in the heating and cooling sector, and some in the transportation sector. So it has to be at least one sector. And when we talk about renewable energy, we talk about technologies that are like solar, wind, biomass, biogas, geothermal, tidal wave. We don't include, different jurisdictions include large hydropower, some only include small. We are still having an internal debate about that. But we're transparent in the case studies about the energy types that are chosen. We do not allow for, you know, straight burning of trash or certain technologies that have been proven to be environmentally just so detrimental that they're not included in the list. And generally, we draw from existing criteria for states like California or countries like Germany that have already thought these things through, and we borrow from their criteria.
Right. I thought it was interesting that the map doesn't just list general renewable energy projects. I hear about renewable energy projects all the time put on by locals, and, you know, people are approaching it from a different angle. And so with go100%.org, it looks like you have a pretty strict criteria to make sure that the project is professional and meets demands by the community.
Yes, well, all of the projects are reflective of, I mean, they're all, most of them were decided upon. If they didn't have an official commitment, I should say that there is a caveat that in some rural developing areas, there isn't necessarily a local commitment to 100% renewable energy. It's just that they've never had, you know, some places have never had electricity before. And so they
right.
are, but they, so they're, all the electricity that they're getting is from renewable sources like solar. But indeed, all, you know, all of the projects are, because there is either that official commitment or it's actually being used by the community, yes, they are, I mean, one would hope that there is a professionalism to their implementation. And we try to give as much information about that as possible. And another thing that's unique is it's not just renewable energy projects. There does have to be a clear 100% renewable energy target or solution mm-hmm. involved. And we're doing that in order to raise the awareness and to up the debate and to get help to encourage imagination and folks to think about where we need to be going, which is a transition, a complete transformation to using renewable energy within the next few decades.
How exactly does would it be a community? How does a community or an organization submit a project on go100%.org?
Well, if a community has an official target, for example, there's been a city council decision, or in some cases, there's just a very strong mayor who is announced a target and there's a clear will to implement it, then they can just let us know. We usually ask for just a basic description of the project, if there's any timeline for the project, what technologies they're using, why they're going there, what the economic impacts are. And they can answer. Sometimes people have the answers to all of these, sometimes not so much. What are the community benefits? What are the greatest challenges? How are they financing it? These are just some basic questions that we usually ask if they haven't answered them already in their initial outreach.
Yeah, that's great that you give kind of a roadmap for communities and organizations to get their 100% renewable energy project going. Can you give an example of a project in Southern California that you feel serves as a good example to other communities?
One that has been going fairly strongly is in the city of San Diego. Back in 2013, we met with the mayor and staff, and this was at a time when the San Onofre Nuclear Power Station was going to be imminently shut down, and we thought that it made a lot of sense for San Diego to be the next big city to commit to a 100% renewable energy target. And they agreed to do that and announce that at a conference that we had in San Francisco in April 2013, which was the first big, conference to focus on 100% renewable energy targets and solutions in North America. That was Pathways to 100% Renewable Energy. They came and made the announcement, and then there was some political turmoil in the city, and you know, changing over of leadership. But the 100% renewable electricity target stuck, and they put it into their climate plan, and then that had to go under state review. And it became part of the law. Their climate plan became law, and there's a 100% renewable electricity target in there, and they're figuring out still how they're going to implement that, whether they're going to do something like a community choice aggregation program, which would allow the city to essentially gain complete control over procurement choices for electricity for its citizens. Or if they're going to be working with the local utility, they're still trying to map that out. But they're a pretty neat example because, you know, especially because San Diego is such a big city and it was a bipartisan effort. And it, you know, it showed a lot of political will to be able to withstand a lot of changes in leadership And there's been a tremendous amount of community support, various groups getting involved and getting that over the finish line. So I think it's a wonderful example of a demonstrated commitment within the community. And the fact that it's become law is also, a best practice that is worth emulating in other cities where that's possible.
Something I thought was a nice feature on go100%.org was when I look at the list of projects in Southern California or on the map in general, there's actually a pretty involved description about the project as well as contact information and links. And I think that's really helpful for getting in contact with the city about the project.
Yeah, well, thank you. And we try, in all the case studies, to supply sources and original sources for the information that we received, one for the sake of transparency and data verification, and also just the point that you made, so that if people want to get in touch and they want to know more, then they can do so. Sometimes they contact us to be a go-between to connect, various players together, and we're happy to do that wherever we can. But we also want to empower people who come on the website to use it as a useful tool for them to learn further and how they can pursue a 100% renewable energy project in their own community.
And go100%.org actually covers the whole world, North America, South America, Europe. And how do projects in other regions compared to projects in North America? I know that's a broad question, but if you could sum it up a little, that would be great.
Even projects within North America vary, although, of course, there's some
right.
going to be some similarity because they're all under the same federal laws. So, our federal laws, we have, and state laws tend to be, go towards like renewable portfolio standards, and we have tax credits and performance tax credits, and so the policies are going to be different than in places like Europe or say like Germany, where they've had the most significant part of their renewable energy development was driven by their feed-in tariff law, so in Germany, the way their feed-in tariff was structured, for example, made their development happen a lot on a sort of small level. A lot of small systems. They've got over 1 million solar energy systems in Germany, which is extraordinary,
mm-hmm.
in a community of 80,000 people. And whereas here, in California, for example, where there's the most solar development in the U.S., there tend to be more larger scale projects because that's how, it was driven by our policies, where small owners didn't have the tax appetite for the tax credits, and so they tend to be. And also, there were these state renewable portfolio standards that were supportive of utility scale development. So that's the policies tend to dictate how things end up looking. Also in Europe, we're seeing a lot of regional collaboration. So you have Denmark wanting to go. They've got the only national mandate to go 100% renewable energy across the board. They're doing so. When they are able to do so, that will be in part thanks to Norway's large hydropower, and they've got they've got regional grid cooperations and regional market cooperation, so they are able to think kind of intra-regionally in terms of their 100% renewable energy vision, and there's certainly interest here in doing that in the United States, especially here in California, where that was a part of the SB 350 law that got passed, was to be advancing regional solutions. There's a lot of debate about that now. So, we may see that kind of development here in California, but in Europe it's been happening a long time. So that's one example. In other places, you know, say in Africa, a lot of the projects that you'll see mapped again are these renewable, these rural developing regions that might not have had electricity before. And you know, with solar panels, and say some, you know, LED light bulb or, and some, you know, cell phone chargers, these kind of, simple but very effective solutions, there's communities that can have electricity without waiting for the utility or the national or regional government to bring in grids, which can sometimes take decades, and if it happens at all, and you know, it's just because it's hard. They have to, when you have a central you know, conventional power plant, there has to be you know, grids that bring it to communities, and that can take you know, ages in these communities. So with a, you know, solar, a little solar panel and efficiency, high efficiency appliances, lighting, et cetera, they can be literally empowered with electricity and learn to install it themselves. And then there can be entrepreneurial opportunities where they can then install it for their neighbors or distribute it to their neighbors. They can train other people to implement these solutions. And so that's the kind of projects we'll see in more developing regions typically. And then on the islands, you know, you'll see it. Then there, a lot of them are battling. I mean, they're on the front lines of feeling the impacts of climate change so quickly, and they are often reliant on dirty diesel. And so the theme tends to be, how are they replacing their dirty diesel imports with local renewables like solar and wind? So if that answers your question, that's some of the kind of variances or the trends and variations that we see.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting feature in the database too, on the website. I personally haven't really even taken the time to research renewable energy projects happening in Africa. I am just so consumed by what's happening in Southern California specifically at the moment, but it was nice to look at this website and see the projects happening overseas just listed so easily in a website. And again, the descriptions there, the contact information, it really helps people see what's going on in other parts of the world and to hopefully see what are the pros and cons of what's happening overseas, how to bring that to their country. So I think that's another great feature on the website.
Well, thank you.
And so another question I have about the website is, you mentioned there are other tools on the website. So we go to the website and we see there's an events page and tips available. Can you give some more information about these features?
Sure. So there's events. If there's a 100% renewable energy related event that wants to contact us to put a, you know, often we'll do it in a reciprocal way where we're cross promoting. You know, we'll have our information about our about our organization or our project at their event, and then they list on our event list, so it doesn't cost anybody any money, but there is a little bit of reciprocity there. We have a video series, an expert video series, with a wide variety of folks, from Elon Musk to a gentleman from Africa who is working at a university there to try to advance renewable energy, to, you know, mayors of cities that have 100% renewable energy targets, et cetera. And yes, we try to give basic tips. We try to give criteria for getting on the map. We try to give some basic talking points about 100% renewable energy. And what else? We have, you know, the study library. So if there's a study that's got a clear 100% renewable energy focus, we put it on there. And if anybody sees that theirs isn't on there, let us know, remind us. I will mention, it's been an all-volunteer team, so, you know, staying on top, we try to stay top of everything. We don't want it to continue to be an all-volunteer team, but we're working on that. But in the meantime, people do not be afraid to pester us if there's something that needs to be updated or missing, you know, that clearly fits our criteria. It just helps to hear it again so that we can be reminded, you know, in our busy schedules to put that in, because we really do want it to be reflective of what's going on out there. And what else? We have, you know, some book tips and some film tips. Just try to be kind of a one-stop shop for anybody who's interested in 100% renewable energy and learning more. We've tried to be a one-stop shop for that interest.
Right. Yeah, I think that's great to not only see what renewable energy projects are happening all over the world, but also have access to information to learn more about the projects and to learn more about 100% renewable energy projects. What is the general feedback that you've received on the website in terms of it connecting people with projects and bringing people together?
Well, I'll tell you, we're not just masochists that we love to do volunteer stuff. We continue all these years to do it because the feedback is so overwhelming. We have had visitors from every continent. Even within the first year, we'd had every continent, including Antarctica, if you can believe it, really. People from all over. We get thousands of visitors. We've had several cities say that they have gone and taken the steps to establish a 100% renewable electricity target or an overall 100% renewable energy target because of our map. There's movements, there's other sister movements that have started because of our project all over the world. So it's been just wonderful to see how excited people get and how much of a hunger there is for this kind of information. So I'd say the feedback has been fantastic, and that's really what keeps us going.
Oh, that's great. It's a great project. All right. Okay. We're going to be bringing the show to a close. So thank you so much for being on the show, Diane, and telling us about go100%.org as well as Renewables 100 Policy Institute.
Well, it's been my pleasure, Lauren, and I hope that anyone who's interested will, you know, get in touch with us, go on the website, explore, feel free to ask questions, feel free to give information that could be useful. And you know, certainly and connect with other projects that are on the map that might be you know, relevant to their situation.
All right, that's great. Okay, thanks for calling in, Diane. We appreciate it.
Take care. Bye bye, Lauren.
Bye. And there you have it. We had go100%.org. That was Diane Moss on the show, also coming from Renewables 100 Policy Institute. And again, I just want to emphasize that this is a really great website. It's so easy to use. It looks like it is for children. Not to say anything offensive, but it's just so easy. It's easy to click on the map. It's easy to navigate. You get a list of 100% renewable energy projects happening in whatever region of the world you're looking at. And as Diane mentioned, there's just a great number of resources to help educate website visitors about renewable energy and what is it, how can it progress, how can a person learn more and get more involved. It's a really great project, and I encourage you to check it out. Again, it's go100%.org. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go to Lauren L of thehighdesert.com to learn more about this interview, and feel free to message me if you have any questions on this subject. Again, thanks for tuning in, and have a great week.